Once again, good evening, everybody. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. I wonder how much Papa Giorgio paid him to give that little message right before the Hour of the Time. I've got nothing against Michael Papa Giorgio, but he made a big mistake. He can't compete with the Hour of the Time. Let's go to Phoenix with Gene Miller and get our Monday evening metal report.
Good evening.
Hello, Gene. How are you?
Doing real good. How about yourself?
Well, it's five more days till Christmas, and I'm looking for a place to go.
Yeah, well, Merry Christmas to everyone.
What's going on?
Well, the metals are all looking very strong again. Gold had a high of 390.10 and a low of 389.80 to close up $1.90 to 389.20. Silver had a high of 517, a low of 509 to close up 9 cents to 512. Platinum had a high of 389.50, a low of 388, and to close at $388.60. The Dow had a high of 37.60.50 and a low of 37.42 to close up $3.70 at 37.55.20. One of the significant things that happened today was in gold. On the February futures contracts, it closed up $3.50 high to $390. Well, $390 is a breakout point when you look at it from the technical standpoint in the chart. The last time we had it reach up to that 390 point, it went on up past that and then closed up a few days later up to 410. If we see tomorrow, again, will be a significant point. If we see it sustain that level at 390 tomorrow and close above 390 on the February futures, it's probably going to be the last opportunity you have to buy gold at 390, because it's probably going to go well above 400 at that point. Should go back up to the previous highs that we had in midsummer, and we're looking for probably by the first part of the quarter of next year, somewhere about 426. So, Cass, I can't encourage you enough. If you are considering protecting yourself, and for the life of me, I can't understand why you wouldn't be. One of the things I found interesting today, and I for lack of just walked off and didn't get the name of the organization, but there's an outfit in Texas that's gathering signatures, and maybe you know who it is, Bill, but they're gathering signatures to impeach Mr. Clinton. In fact, they got like 12 million signatures in this outfit. As fast as they can hand out these lists, they're getting filled up. But I wonder, you know, it's like I said some time ago, we may complain about the system, we may gripe and so on and so forth, but I wonder how many of those 12 million people that have signed up to impeach Mr. Clinton. And I'm sure there's probably
little
people that are listening even tonight. I wonder how many of them have actually put their money where their mouth is and have stopped supporting the system and just gone blindly along, just keep pumping their money into, you really want to do something, throw your money out of their system. Quit supporting their system. Whether you buy gold from me or you buy from somebody else, hey, I hope you do business with us. I truly believe that we're the strongest and the best. But the point is, there are countless. I mean, I talk to them all the time. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that just keep complaining about it, but they don't do nothing about it. They don't do something to change the what's going on. And griping and complaining, you know, it may serve some purpose, but it really doesn't change anything.
Bah.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Also, I found an interesting, just a fact or whatever. The country, the government by and large in the media says, we don't have any inflation. There's no inflation in America. Yet the two most inflationary metals that we have, both gold and silver. Silver has gone up 45% this year. Gold has gone up over 20% this year. And yet they say there's no inflation. I guess I beg to differ. They're lying or it's just been a big hoax. But the fact of the matter is gold and silver are going up. And if you look at the cycles that happened back in 76 through 80, where we remember the double-digit inflation, during that period, during the initial phases when Mr. Carter came in there and he began to start the same process of tax and spend, it didn't just happen immediately overnight. We saw general kind of slow moves in the gold and silver market at first, but then it was the last half of his administration where there's this, you catch up and you make up for this lag time between the time that they initiate taxes and then finally we feel the effects of it. We've raised taxes in our country. They did something extremely unconstitutional. They even made it retroactive to the first of the year. Well, I mean, that's totally against anything that our Constitution allows, and yet we'll be, all these millions of people that are listening tonight are going to step right up to the pump and pay more taxes. And when they finally do, it's going to dawn on them that the inflation is going to be coming back like a roaring lion, and all of a sudden, boom, they're going to be stuck in the cycle of it. Folks, if you're going to do something, here we're getting into the end of the year. Most people are trying to get their portfolios all settled and taken care of. Take advantage of the prices as low as they are right now, because I think they're going to be going a lot higher.
Yep. Several months ago, Greenspan began preparing the public in a hearing in front of Congress. He said that they would not be able to hold back inflation much longer. And you're going to see it very quickly. You're going to see some pretty hard economic times is what the CAGI economists, who are always inputting the information here so that we can analyze it, they're telling us that we're headed for real hard economic times in the near future.
I believe you're right, Bill. All I can do is encourage your listeners to call me tomorrow or one of my other senior brokers. We do have some free literature. We'll get you educated as to how this is done, what you should do. And then I guess the bottom line, the choices are nobody's going to come to your door and take your money. Okay, you have to make that decision. Hey, I'm going to either support the system or I'm not. Either I'm going to protect my family or I'm not. And I guess I feel sorry for those that don't, because when this all comes unraveled, I think it's gonna make the 29 depression look like a picnic.
Well, the same thing's happening with the stock market that happened back then. The stock market keeps going up and up and up and up for no reason. None of those companies are worth what their stock is selling for. The market is so inflated that all of the money exists on paper. If you were to take any one of those companies and sell them today, you would not be able probably to pay 10 cents on the dollar for the value of the stock. In fact, I think it would be much lower than that.
Exactly. Here's something from Ari McMaster. It says, cash reserves in institutional stock portfolios have fallen to 3.7%, the lowest in 14 years. Buying power is exhausted. Moreover, the $3 billion increase in margin debt in stocks in November is the largest since September 1987. I think we remember what happened shortly after that. It says, another crash, question mark. The put-call ratio in stocks is bearish. The advanced decline ratio is bearish. It says, monitor December 20th through the 24th and the January 11th. For a significant stock market turning point.
I concur.
Call us tomorrow. Call us tonight. The number is 1-800-289-2646. 1-800-BUY-COIN. For those that are out of the country, if you still can't get through on the 800 number, call us 602-953-6000. You call me collect. call collect if you have to, but make the call. Get the information. Find out what's going on. Find out what you can do. Get informed and then take action. It's like, you know, if I had somebody breaking into my house and I knew how to use my gun to protect myself, and I just looked at it and let my family get killed or robbed or beaten, I'd be according to the Bible, I'd be worse than an infidel. Okay?
You wouldn't be on this show anymore.
And so get this information, folks, and then do something about it. Don't just stick it in file 13 and forget about it and then let this thing all happen to you. Do something about it, even if you have to start off small, but do something before it's too late.
Thank you, Gene, once again for another wonderful Monday Night Metals Report. Folks, don't forget, call now. You know how you tend to procrastinate. Do it now. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. You'll be glad that you did. Thank them for sponsoring the Hour of the Time. Mention my name, William Cooper. Make sure that you get all the newsletters and free information that you're entitled to as a listener of the Hour of the Time. And make sure that you talk to one of the wonderful people there at Swiss America Trading and get yourself covered. For those of you outside the continental limits of the United States, it's 602-953-6000. That's 602-953-6000. Now, folks, the member of the sale that we have on all of our materials and information, videotapes, is ongoing until Christmas Day. Now, no post office is going to be open on Christmas Day, so we're going to honor any order that is postmarked on or before December the 24th. Anything postmarked after that, we will return to you. We will not be letting any of these items go for the sale prices after that date. So, remember, these are steep discounts. Hundreds of dollars people are saving. And quite a few people have taken advantage of this. Make sure that you get on it, too, because we're not going to repeat this. We have a 4.5-hour video set that normally sells for $82 if you're not a CAGI member, and $67 for CAGI members. It's $50 now for CAGI and $60 for non-CAGI. This video set shows the anomalous structures on the Moon and Mars. They are official NASA photographs. It proves that somebody is on the moon unless NASA is giving us phony photographs. And that's always a possibility, folks. But this video also shows the publications printed by the U.S. Government Printing Office, published by NASA, that we found these photographs in. You need extreme magnification and macro photography, just like we did, in order to find it and look at it. And we've done the work for you. So if you want that set, it's $50 for CAGI members, $60 for non-CAGI members. Video 1A is highlights from that set and is only 2 hours long, $30 for CAGI members, $40 for non-CAGI members. Video 2 is a 4-hour lecture that I did on the New World Order. I believe it was in San Diego in September of 1991. $50 for CAGI members, $60 for non-CAGI members. These are steep discounts. Video 3 is a 4-hour set linking the mystery religion with the New Age movement and the New World Order. It's $50 for CAGI members, $60 for non-CAGI members. Remember that the entire set of Mystery Babylon tapes from our series that we did on the Hour of the Time, it's a total of 32 hours. 32 hours of the Mystery Babylon series. Normally, folks, it's about $240 for non-CAGI members and about $180 for CAGI members, and that's before we added the other two tapes to it. Right now, they're on sale for $100 for CAGI members, $150 for non-CAGI members. Now, take advantage of this. The book is not on sale. The book, if you'd like, The Behold a Pale Horse, 500 pages of the most suppressed, most well-documented suppressed information ever published in the history of the world. That's $25 post-paid for CAGI members, $30 postpaid for non-CADGI members. Now, these prices are for people within the continental United States. If you're outside the continental United States, call Carolyn during the daytime, and she'll give you the postage that you need to send, or she'll find out what the postage is that you need to send on top of these prices. The address where you can send your orders is CAGI, C-A-J-I, P.O. Box 1420, Sholow, spelled S-H-O-W-L-O-W, Arizona, 85901. That's CAGI, P.O. Box 1420, Sholow, Arizona, 85901. If you'd like to call Carolyn here at the Research Center anytime during the daytime hours, please don't call her real early in the morning or real late at night. She has to rest just like everybody else. And heaven help you if you call in the middle of the night. The number is 602-333-5174. 602-333-5174. Our fax number is the same as the call-in number for the radio program. The fax number is 602-333-2174. When we're on the air, you cannot send a fax. When we're not on the air, you cannot call it with voice because it's only fax. Now remember that, folks. And also, beginning tomorrow night, we're going to be airing reruns for a while because we all need a vacation here. We're going to finish out the Mystery Babylon series. Beginning where we left off, tomorrow night will be Mystery Babylon number 22. And it'll go all the way up to January 3rd, where it will end with Mystery Babylon number 30. And then from January 4th through January the 10th will be some of the best tapes that we've aired, including Creator Endowed Rights, The Living Constitution, The Ozone Hoax, The Ozone Hoax Part 2, and Darlene Sherrell on Fluoridation. I will be back in studio live on January the 10th. And during that week, in the first week in January, I will be in Las Vegas filming and investigating the Luxor Hotel, and we'll bring back tons and tons of information.
Now, folks, everybody in this country knows there's something wrong. I have yet to find anyone who says, everything's fine, there's nothing wrong, I'm not worried about a thing. Even the people who are pretty comfortable in their business and in their family life and who own their home and things seem to be going pretty good for them, they still know that something's wrong. Now, that's pretty strange in a country that is pretty much made up of optimists, people who believe that we have the best opportunities, the best tools to realize those opportunities, and the most freedom of any people in the world. Now, if that's true, what could possibly be wrong? Well, simply because everybody feels that there's something wrong, there is something wrong, whether there is or not, if you understand that concept. Whether there's a God or not, if 18 million people believe there's a God, then there's a God for those 18 million people, and those 18 million people who believe in that God are going to affect the rest of the people who live in this world. So I hope you understand that principle, that even if something doesn't exist, if enough people believe in it, for all practical purposes, it's real. It's real. And you have to understand that. Because what we're dealing with, what is really wrong, ladies and gentlemen, is there is a group of men and women, but the people who make the decisions, I can assure you, are men, in this world who have had a dream for thousands of years. They exist in secret societies. They plan in secret. They exist in a world where there are organizations within organizations within organizations, wheels within wheels within wheels, if you will. And where only the people at the very top in the inner circle, what's called the inner circle, and you will see that sometimes in print. You'll be reading something and they'll talk about the inner circle and you won't know what that means. But I know what it means. And from this inner circle, which really understands what's going on and makes the plans, there are concentric circles sprouting out around it. And the farther away you get from the inner circle, the less you know, until you reach this outermost circle where we exist, and we are known as the profane. There are the initiates, the adepts, the priests, the illumined, and there are the profane. Now, the profane simply means one who does not know the truth, one who is not an initiate. People stumble around and they deal with things that they don't understand because they're dealing with an esoteric language of symbolism, and they try to make it fit in their exoteric world, and it just will not. For instance, when you read the book of Revelation, you are reading one thing. When they read an entirely different story. You read that 666 is the mark of a man. And without this mark, you cannot buy, sell, own, eat, sleep, do anything. They read it. They see that the initiated are going to rule the world. Those who have experienced the 3 degrees in six acts. 666. Their symbol, one of their symbols. I'm going to show you some of the symbology. I'm going to show you how you're fooled on a daily basis into dealing with these people, and how they take away your rights, how they take away your dignity, how they take away the sustenance that belongs to all of us on a daily basis. How many of you have seen that symbol? How many of you realize what it means? How many of you are old movie fans? How many of you have seen this in a movie? An old, old movie. One person out of the whole crowd. There was a movie where this was the ultimate symbol of those who became the rulers of the world. It's the wings around the world. It's also an ancient Egyptian symbol of the sun. The sun traversed the heavens from east to west. It's not a symbol of a UFO as the New Age movement has made it. It was never a UFO. You see, they look at the ancient Egyptian symbols and they say, the Egyptians are trying to say they saw a disc in the sky that flies. They did. It's called the sun. The sun. It's not a UFO, folks. Now, the mysteries take this a step further. Anybody ever seen that? Maybe you've seen it in a simpler version, the snake eating its own tail. Many of you have seen this. And this, many of you know what it means. This is the caduceus, the symbol of medicine. Doctors, who as a whole are a member of the secret society, which are destroying all of us. They have perverted health. They steal from you all the time. The truth is, if you go over a year for a physical, you're being robbed. There's no reason that you should ever go to a doctor unless you're really, really sick, and only then if you want to die. If you don't believe me, look at the real statistics, ladies and gentlemen. For instance, more people have died of polio after they received the polio vaccine than before. Were you aware of that? Diseases have cycles. They appear out of nowhere. They go through a progressive inclination until they become epidemic and then they decline. During this rise, they begin to say, we must discover a vaccination. And the disease gets up here and it starts to decline. They vaccinate people. There's another well range of sickness and then the disease disappears. If they had let the disease go its course, it would have gone up and down and disappeared. That's the natural cycle. It's God's way of controlling population. And every single time they've developed a vaccination for the disease, what has happened? People get sicker instead of getting well. Vaccinations introduce foreign genetic material into the human body, which can become a part of the genetic chain of the human body, and over a period of hundreds of years, or maybe even not that long, maybe two or three generations, there is a mutation which is not for the better. It is not for the better. What else can this tell us? Well, you can see clearly the number 18 there, can't you? 18 is what? 666, isn't it? This is the number of initiation. 18 is the number of initiation. The 3 degrees and 6 acts. It is the Master Mason. It is anyone who calls themselves illumined, who have been through the 3 degrees and 6 acts, no matter which organization they belong to, the Rose Cross Order, the Freemasons, the Knights Templars, the Sovereign and Military Order of the Knights of Malta, the Knights of the Red Cross of Constantine, the Knights of the Order of St. John of Jerusalem. And they're all the same organization at the highest level. Now, there's something else that you can see here that's extremely important when you look. You see the symbol of the snake. The snake throughout history has been the symbol of wisdom. When you look at the hieroglyphics from the tombs of the pharaohs, they say, this is a misinterpretation, because the pyramids were never tombs. Never. They were temples of initiation. That's what they are. The initiate is who lay in the sarcophagus and died a symbolic death and then was risen through the grip of the lion's paw, the grip of the Master Mason. Freemasonry is as old as man, you see. It started off with the first person who discovered a method of controlling the rest of the people around him. And he kept this a secret. And to keep it going so that there would always be leadership for the sheeple, they called themselves shepherds, by the way, because they took care of the sheep. They initiated young men into the rites and taught them throughout their life these secrets of controlling other people, and that's the only secret you'll ever find in any of these mystery schools. They get you involved and entice you to stay in until there's a point of no return when you know so much and you've caught a glimpse of the rewards that you don't want to leave. And they dangle these secrets just in front of your arm so that you keep reaching out, but you never grab it. If you don't believe me, go snag a 33rd degree Freemason and sit down with him and tell him. You know, I want to know, what is it that's so great that you spent your life in the secret lodge that you've learned? They can't tell you because there isn't anything. there isn't anything. There are no great secrets. It's all just as much BS as all the other stuff is with all the other organizations around the world. How many of you knew Martin Luther, when he started the Reformation, was a member of the Rose Cross Order? His personal seal was the Rose and Cross. You can see it on every document he ever signed. How many of you understood that? You didn't know that, did you? How many of you knew that the Pope is nothing more than the Roman Emperor who's just changed his name from Emperor to Pope? And the same old worship of the pantheon of gods has become the pantheon of saints. And Isis has become Mary. How many of you knew that? The Catholic Church does not teach what Christ taught, and neither does any Christian church on the face of this earth. They have perverted it to the mysteries, and they teach you the exoteric interpretation of the real religion of the mystery schools. And you wonder, how did this nation get so materialistic? Because that degenerative force, the penis of Osiris, was the part of his body that Isis could not find. So she made a golden substitute and set it up on the altar of Egypt, and that's what the Egyptians worshipped. That's represented by the rod. The rod is the instrument that the Pharaoh used to control the people. Remember the rod and the flail? The figure eight represents the flail. It also represents the feminine part of the goddess. So you have the god and the goddess, the androgynous god, male and female, represented together. Right here, in front of your nose, and it's been in front of your nose your whole life, but because you don't understand the symbolism of the esoteric religion of the mystery schools, you never knew what it was you were looking at. And they are so confident that we are so stupid that they put it out and display it as their symbol wherever you go. Because, for the most part, they're right. And this is what they believe. A nation or world of people that will not use their intelligence are no better than animals who do not have intelligence. Such people are beasts of burden and stakes on the table by choice and consent. They believe that if you're stupid enough to let them steal your money, that they deserve your money and you do not. They believe that if you're stupid enough to let them take your land away from you, that they deserve your land and you do not. And in the common law, that is rooted firmly as the truth, in that only one person in this world can stand up and preserve your rights, and that's you, even if it means you must fight to the death. That is firmly rooted in the law of the world, the law that sprang from the people of the world, as being just. How many of you knew that when you hire a lawyer, you declare yourself legally incompetent, become a ward of the court, and the lawyer is an officer of the court, sworn to serve the court? How many of you knew that? One person. It's true. Two people. We have a lot to learn, folks. And if you look around, you'll see there's not too many people really interested in learning what they need to learn to save what little we have and get back what we've already lost. The Constitution and Bill of Rights are not taught in our schools anymore. Why? Because the schools are in control of these people. There are many other symbols besides this. This is not the only one. But this is one that contains most of what they believe, so I decided to show you that. Osiris is the doctrine, Isis is the church. Horus is the body of initiates. It's the ancient religion of Babylon. It's the ancient religion of Egypt. It has always been practiced in secret throughout the world. You're taught in history books that the Egyptians worshipped the sun. They never did. They worshipped a pantheistic god. The sun was the representation of that god. It was God's son. God's son. And remnants of this religion exist in all religions today. Easter is not a Christian holiday. Easter was a pagan, sun-worshipping holiday. Jesus Christ was not born on December the 25th, but the sun was in the ancient religion of Amun-Ra. And at the conclusion of the worship service, they said Amen, and they still do that in Christian churches today. The cross that the Emperor Constantine saw, that he said converted him to Christianity, had nothing to do with Jesus Christ. He was looking at the sun as it was low on the horizon, and he squinted, and he saw this. This is the horizon. Here is the sun. What he saw is this. And that became the Red Cross of Constantine. And a whole order of the mystery was formed, called the Knights of the Red Cross of Constantine. All religions contain the promise of a resurrection, the promise of a rebirth, the promise of a reincarnation in some religions. This came from man's fear of death. Man's fear of death. Man was born in the ancient days into a cruel, heartless world. He was at the mercy of the elements and the beasts of the field. He was at the mercy of other men who would kill him for what little he had. It was a terrible, terrible time and place to live. When man began to think. You see, before man began to think, he was like the animals. He was innocent. He didn't go around having hidden agendas. He didn't go around plotting how to take something from his neighbor. He was innocent like the animal. And he ate mostly vegetables, roots, leaves, fruits. And so something happened. The first man sat down and had the first original thought, and that's when all our trouble began. It's represented in the Bible as the story of Adam and Eve and Satan, or the serpent. In the mystery religion, it's represented thusly. Man was held prisoner in the Garden of Eden by an unjust, vindictive God in the bonds, the chains of ignorance. He was a prisoner. He was set free by Lucifer through his agent Satan with the gift of intellect, primordial knowing. And through the use of that intellect, man himself will become God. And you see that everywhere. You see it in the New Age movement, you see it in the Mormon Church, you see it in all kinds of religions around the world. But everywhere there must be some promise, because remember what God said to Adam and Eve in the Bible. He said, of all the other trees in this garden you can eat, but of one you shall not eat. For if you do, you will surely die. Satan came and he said, God was lying to you. He was lying to you because he doesn't want you to have your true inheritance. Because if you eat of the tree of the fruit of knowledge, ye shall know good from evil, and be as God, and ye shall not surely die. Now notice, he didn't say they will be God. He said you will be as God, knowing the difference between good and evil. Many people have taken that to mean that man is God. If man is God, why do you die? Why do you pay rent? Make me a universe. Because it's bullshit. total bullshit. You may have a spark of divinity in you, each and every one of us, because we were made from the substance that God is made from, because everything stems from God. But no human being will, is, or ever has been God. See, that's the promise of Satan. Satan said, "Ye shall be as gods, knowing the difference of good from evil. And ye shall not surely die." The job of the mysteries is to prove this. In the early days, when they initiated someone into the mystery schools, the mystery religion, they put them through such a harrowing experience that sometimes they had a near-death experience and they saw this light floating out in space and they were trying to get to this light. People experience that today. It's called a near-death experience. Does it occur in the mind? Is it real? No one really knows. But the mystery schools claim it is, and that that light is God. And that the God is the supreme intellect of the universe. And that there are really two gods, unfortunately, because they must exist together. And that's what this representation of the androgynous God means. Male, female, positive, negative, as above, so below. The yin, the yang. It's all the representation of what they believe used to be the collaboration between Jehovah and Lucifer. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible said Lucifer was never a god. He was an angel who rebelled against God and was flung to the earth to be the master of the material world. And that's why these people preach material things. They don't believe in salvation by faith. They believe in salvation by works. They are the philosophers of fire. The people who follow the God of the Bible are those of the waters of faith. The mysteries are trying to bring a reconciliation about between Jehovah and Lucifer. That's the meaning of the molten sea. Now, I know I've lost quite a few of you. I see some very blank faces down there going, "What in the world is he talking about?" You see, there just isn't enough time to get into the very nitty-gritty of this and bring you up as I would someone starting from the beginning if I had unlimited time. And that's what workshops are all about. But I wanted to give you some basics in this so you understand it a little better. You see, it doesn't matter whether you believe in religion or not. It doesn't matter if you believe in God or the devil or Satan or the Mormon church or the Christian church or Buddha or what. It doesn't matter. Everything that's happening in the world today is happening because of religious events that happened thousands of years ago that nobody today understands. Nobody. If you believe you know it all and your religion is the only one in this world that's right, I'm going to make you mad by this, you're a fool. Because nobody knows. Nobody, not me. Not you, not you, not you, not you, not you, not you. If you feel you know, it is as an article of faith, because someone told you something and you believe it. And my message is, we need to find the truth, no matter what it is, and no matter who it helps or hurts, or we are going to suffer in a future world as slaves of someone who's smart enough, using technology that exists today to make us believe what they want us to believe to further their own hidden agenda. And that's what is happening in the world today. You see, these people who meet in secret and practice these secret rites have infiltrated all levels of our society, military, and government, and they are in control, and they're going to bring about a new world order, what they call the Great Plan, the completion of the Great Work. They're going to create a new root race, which they call the solar man, stemming from the true knowledge of the worship of the sun, the ancient religion. And anybody who won't go along with their plan is just simply going to be cast out or eliminated or used for labor forces somewhere in some slave labor camp. They created the New Age movement, and most people in the New Age movement are practicing a religion they know nothing about, using symbols that they don't understand, cranking out religious philosophy that they've made up out of their head because they don't understand it. And an awful lot of people are just following along. There are a lot of Christians following leaders who are lying to them. The Catholics have been following the Emperor of Rome since the Catholic Church began. And he made up his own history. Said Peter was the first pope. And then he started his popeship in Rome. Peter never went to Rome. That's what real history says. The Buddhists promise an endless round on the wheel of reincarnation until you build the perfect temple within yourself. And then you can get off the wheel and go be part of the life. What fools these mortals be. If you look at when and how reincarnation as a religious philosophy began, it was when one of the rulers of India was threatened by the people because they didn't feel their lot was good enough. They weren't getting their share of the pot. So he said this, you're not getting your share of the pot. It's because God has willed it. In your past life, you were not a good person. Therefore, you were given this life to punish you, and you must live out your karma. You must be satisfied with your lot. And when you've lived out your karma, then in the next life, if you've done good in this life and accepted your lot and your punishment, then you can go higher up and be a little better. But if you're not good in this life, if you give me any trouble or anybody else, you may be a frog in your next life. That's what history says. But you find not only people from India, from the Hindu religion, believe this, but you find people all over the United States starting to believe in the philosophy of reincarnation with no proof whatsoever, other than somebody said, you've got to come back and go around on the wheel of life some more. You see, that's not good enough for me. It may be true, but I'm not going to believe it just because somebody tells me to believe it. I want to see some proof. I want to be able to make it fit right, and it doesn't. It's a perfect way to subjugate people into classes and enjoy their servitude if they believe it. But is it the truth? I don't know, and neither do you. I will probably never know, and neither will you. If you believe it, it will be as a matter of faith and nothing else. Nothing else. That's dreadful. When we believe blindly, we are easily led. We become sheeple, not people. Now remember this, folks. Sheep are always sheared and then led to the slaughter. Always. You want to be a sheeple? That's fine. If you understand you're going to be sheared and led to the slaughter, and you really want to be that, that's okay with me. But for some reason, I just don't believe that people really want to fit into that category. And so that calls for an awful lot of education. It calls for waking them up. It calls for this admonition, which you will hear if you listen to my radio show almost every time I broadcast. Don't listen to what I'm telling you. Don't believe what I'm telling you. Don't believe what Ted Koppel tells you, or Dan Rather, or Bill Clinton, or George Bush, or your preacher, or your minister, or your bishop, or your pope, until you investigate it and find out without any doubt whatsoever that it's true and you can prove it to somebody else with hard facts. If you say it's true because I had a vision, I'm sorry. I didn't have the vision. It's true for you and only you, it's not true for me. You see? I also believe wholeheartedly 100% in the Constitution of the United States of America, and that is everyone is entitled to have their own religion and worship at the altar of their choice, and I will fight and die for that, because I know this just as sure as I know I'm standing up here in front of you today. But if I don't give you that right, I don't have that right. And if you don't like my religion, you'll take it away from me. And yes, I do have a religion. And it's my religion. And it's nobody else's business, just like yours is not my business. But we all have to understand that no matter what we believe, we are a prisoner of our beliefs. Prisoner. And the literal meaning of that word. We must learn to open our mind and not believe anything until we've put it through every test. And I mean that literally, every test, and it passes every test. You know why they killed Socrates, don't you? Or actually why he had to take the cup of poison? Because he was a pain to the establishment. Because he kept putting them to the test and they kept failing. And all he did was ask questions. Nothing else. He had no army. All he had was questions, questions, questions. And he didn't believe anything until he put it to the test. And he would ask questions. And if it was true, it would stand up to the question. It would stand up to the examination. And if it was not true, it would not stand up to the examination. And very little that they ever did ever stood up to the examination of Socrates. So they tried it as a public nuisance, found him guilty, and sentenced him to death. And in those days, death was that you drank a cup of poison administered by yourself. And his students came to him and said, if we want to set you free, we're going to break you out of here. We're going to hide you in the mountains. And he said, no. No, you see, I believe in the law. And the law has sentenced me to die. And I will carry out the sentence. Socrates was a very wise man. Because he understood that if he allowed them to break him out of jail and take him to the mountains, society could be allowed to disintegrate into anarchy, which is just as bad as communism. No control is just as bad as total control. Socrates understood that. He did not want to be the example set for anarchy. Now, folks, also what you see here, the snake throughout history, as I told you, is the representation of wisdom. That's why the pharaohs, you see these in the pyramids, they wore the snake as a symbol on their headdress. Anyone that you see in any Egyptian hieroglyphic with that snake on their head was a priest of the temple of Ra. They were the wisest, most well-educated men in Egypt. And some of them were women. But they always had their separate societies and they were always secret. What they knew as the esoteric in secret was never relayed to the people who only believed the exoteric. You see, the people who misinterpreted the symbology and the preaching that was given to them by the priests of Amun-Ra really did worship the sun. Whereas the priests knew that the sun stood for the power of God, the people thought the sun was God. Now the symbol of the phallus of Osiris is the obelisk. I'll draw one for you so that there'll be no doubt as to what it looks like. That's an obelisk, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find one in Washington, D.C. We call it the Washington Monument. It is, in reality, in the esoteric symbology, the penis of Osiris, the generative force of the mystery religion. And everywhere you see this, you will see a reflecting pool. The reflecting pool represents Isis. Osiris is the church. Osiris is the doctrine. Isis is the church. The church is represented by the reflecting pool, reflecting the pure light from her master. Remember, Osiris represented the sun, the light, Lucifer. Lucifer, They've turned everything around in the mysteries. Lucifer is the god of good who set man free from the bonds of ignorance in the Garden of Eden. He is called the Light. He's an angel of light. He's the great deceiver. Jehovah is depicted in the mysteries as the bad God, who would deny the knowledge of good and evil to man, who would deny us the gift of intellect, who would have kept us innocent in the Garden of Eden to live an innocent life as children. Now, is there anybody in here, if I gave them the chance, would you go back to the age of three? Anybody here? Is anybody in this room who would? Is there anybody in this room who had a good childhood? Let me see your hand. What do you remember about your childhood? Talk real loud. Now you wish you could go back. And this is a perfect analogy. His parents had him working in the garden all the time, and he hated it then, but now he wished he could go back. And you can say that about mankind in general. God had us working in the Garden of Eden, and we hated it then. We didn't know how good we had it. Now we wish we could go back. And the truth is, we can't. We can't. We're not innocents anymore. Remember when you were a kid and you wanted to be an adult? And when you found out what it meant to be an adult, you wanted to be a kid again? That's what I meant last night when I said we spend 21 years of our life waiting to become an adult and be responsible and be able to sign contracts without anybody else having to sign or having to ask anybody. The problem with becoming an adult is really only two. I started to say one, but that's not true. There's two. One, you lose your innocence, which is a great loss for all of us. And two, you really do become responsible, and we all spend the rest of our life fighting that. But we don't want to be. You know why there's not more people in here listening to what I have to say today? Because they know that if they hear the truth of what's happening in this world today, they must be responsible to do something about it, and that they will resist at all costs. I've had several people come by my booth and said, Bill, I know what you're trying to do, but I don't want to know about it. And I said, that's okay, I understand. Just keep on walking. And I do, I understand it perfectly. You see, these men who think they're going to create the perfect world through their meetings in secret and their mystery schools and their elaborate perversions of the true religion throughout history, with their creation of all these different churches, and then they're packing them up into little pieces so man can never know the truth. They hope to be able to control us to the extent whereby they can create 1,000 years of peace. A real utopia on earth. Now, what do you think the chances of that really happening are? Suppose they're able to rise to a position of power in the world and create a one-world government and bring national boundaries down, which I don't care about national boundaries. I care about ideals and principles. Nationalism, to me, sucks just like it sucks to them. Principles and ideals, morals. The difference between right and wrong is what means something to me. Well, it doesn't mean anything to them because they believe that the means justifies or the ends justifies the means.
Good night, and God bless you all.
Everybody knows the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with the fingers crossed. Everybody knows that the war is over. Everybody knows that the good guy's lost. Everybody knows that the fight is fixed. The poor stay poor and the rich get rich. that's how it goes. Everybody knows the boat is sinking. Everybody knows that the captain lied. Everybody's got this good feeling, like their mama or the dog just died. Everybody's hands are in their pockets. Everybody wants a box of chocolates and a long stem rose. Everybody knows.